Greetings. I'm Matt Matthews, one of the pastors here at First Pres in Champaign, and I'm happy to welcome you to our media ministry. Join us in person. We're located at the intersection of Church and State Streets, adjacent to Westside Park in downtown Champaign. Our traditional worship service is at 9 a.m. on Sunday morning, and on most of those Sundays, we offer French translation. Our contemporary services on Sunday begin at 11:15 a.m. When you come to First Pres, what you'll find, what I hope you'll find, is a community of people who support each other and who are passionate about making a difference in our community and beyond. You'll find relevant teaching for children and adults. We have at least a dozen Bible studies and small groups, including pickleball. That's right, pickleball. Adult choir, a bell choir for all comers, and other programs and events designed to grow your faith and give you and me opportunities to serve. There's a place for you. I'm glad you tuned in.
Our scripture comes from Exodus, the third chapter, beginning with the first verse. This morning I'm reading in the Common English Bible. Moses was taking care of flocks from his father-in-law Jethro's Midian priest. He led his flock out to the edge of the desert, and he came to God's mountain called Horeb. The Lord's messenger appeared to him in a flame of fire in the middle of a bush. Moses saw that the bush was in flames but didn't burn up. Then Moses said to himself, "Let me check out this amazing sight and find out why that bush is not burning up." When the Lord saw that he was coming to look, God called out of the bush, "Moses, Moses." Moses said, "I'm here." Then the Lord said, "Don't come any closer. Take off your sandals because you are standing on holy ground." He continued, "I am the God of your father, Abraham's God, Isaac's God, and Jacob's God." Moses hid his face because he was afraid to look at God. Then the Lord said, "I have clearly seen my peoples oppressed in Egypt. I have heard their cries of injustice because of their slave masters. I know about their pain. I've come down to rescue them from the Egyptians in order to take them out of the land and bring them to a good and broad land, a land full of milk and honey, a place where the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Moratites and the Perizzites and the Hivites and the Jebusites all live. Now, the Israelites' cry for injustice has reached me. I have seen just how much the Egyptians have oppressed them. So get going. I'm sending you to Pharaoh to bring my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt." But Moses said to God, "Who am I to go to Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out of Egypt?" God said, "I'll go with you, and I'll show you that I am the one who sent you. After you bring the people out of Egypt, you will come back here and worship God on this mountain." But Moses said to God, "If I now come to the Israelites and say to them, 'The God of your ancestors has sent me to you,' they are going to ask me, 'What's this God's name?' What am I supposed to say?" God said to Moses, "I am who I am. So say that to the Israelites, 'I am has sent me to you.'" God continued, "Say to the Israelites, 'The Lord, the God of your ancestors, Abraham's God, Isaac's God, and Jacob's God, have sent me. This is my name forever. This is how all generations will remember me.'" My friends, this is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
So this morning we're talking a little bit about liberation. What I understand is liberation does not happen in a vacuum. When Moses came to the burning bush to encounter the God who would liberate Moses' people in Egypt, God's first words were to remark that he heard the cries of their people in bondage. Liberation happens because people are listening for and responding to the cries of the oppressed. God heard the wails of Israelites, and God went into action with Moses. And what a choice that was. For Moses was a timid prophet. Of all the people God could have asked, God turned a shepherd who was terrified of public speaking to be the one to raise up the voice of God to the Pharaoh of Egypt. We should never assume that only certain people might be called to do prophetic things or courageous things. Moses was an unlikely character to be leading the Israelites out of bondage. If you remember, he was raised as an Egyptian prince. His real identity as a Hebrew had been hidden. Upon discovering his identity and an unfortunate murder situation, he flees Egypt and becomes a shepherd to his father-in-law's flock. And he seems content. We don't seem to find anything that suggests anything of difference. Yet, God, the one who knows and calls each of us by name, even while we imagine we are unnamed and unsummoned, that God is determined to set the oppressed free. And Moses is determined that he does not have the skill set or ability to meet God's request to be a liberator. Now, Moses' excuses are real, and they're altogether reasonable. And Moses seems to understand immediately and intuitively that this summons from God, from the God of promise and liberation, could be a threat to his very life. But so it is with God's call. The truth of the matter is, when God calls, you can try to hide like Jonah, or reason with God like Moses, yet ultimately God will prevail. God may ask even you to liberate the oppressed of our world today. So we live in interesting times. These times where division is everywhere, where there's this certain understanding or belief that certain people are universally close-minded and intolerant and not open to ideas that we might be liberators. After all, we're Midwesterners. We're portrayed as set in our ever-loving Midwest ways. And yet, our stories are stories of immigration. Germans, Irish, Dutch, Jewish, all came to celebrate in this, to settle in this area in the 1850s, just about the time this church was getting started. And there's been more recent immigration, first from Vietnam and now from China and India, Mexico, the Philippines, the Democratic Republic of Congo, and so many more. The story of Champaign-Urbana has always been a story of immigration. hardly closed-minded, intolerant images that they often say we are. But then, most of us would have been wrong about Moses before he followed God's call. I think liberation works in two directions. Liberating the oppressed and liberating the oppressor from that soul-destroying beliefs that led them to oppression. We actually see a little bit of this in the story today. Moses goes and asks Pharaoh to free the Israelites. They are immigrants who have become too much. If you know the story, they were immigrants looking for a place for food. They became too many, and Pharaoh decides to oppress them, enslave them, for his ambitious building projects. So the first ask doesn't go well. It takes some God-like persuasion, in the unique way God is, before Moses is able to lead the Israelites out of Egypt. And if you think about the story, there is a point where Pharaoh says, "Go." And I wonder in that moment if Pharaoh also sees that he has been wrong in his way. And of course, that moment doesn't last very long, right? And yet, God is at work. God is at work as a parent of both Moses and Pharaoh. God is working to liberate the children of God through the work with both Moses and Pharaoh, his beloved children. So God guides an unlikely liberator in Moses, and he works to set the Pharaoh free from whatever holds him into this oppression as well. God always works to set the oppressor free. And sometimes God uses unlikely candidates like you and I. You see, God desires for all the world that everyone should enjoy a life that is liberated from oppression. Amen.
Thank you for joining this podcast of First Presbyterian Church Champaign. Visit us at our campus at the intersection of Church and State Streets in downtown Champaign. And for more information, visit us online at www.firstpres.church. Have a great week.